But as we celebrate Memorial Day, you know, it's a day we remember those who gave all, that paid the ultimate price for our freedom. You know, we know there's other families that understand that ultimate price because they have sat without loved ones. The men and women we celebrate this week, or this weekend, I should say, they knew the value of what they were fighting for. And that's why they took the risk, and some of them paid the ultimate price. And normally on a day like this, I change the sermon to fit the holiday, to fit the Memorial Day. However, we're going to continue our same series. It is better to, because we're talking about the same principles in giving. You know, the principles of giving are the same no matter the size of the gift. You with me? Principles of giving are the same no matter the size of the gift. The same reason that these heroes gave their lives are the same reasons you and I give to God. In 8 years at FPC, this series is a type that I've not preached at all. And I've shared with reasons over the last couple weeks. But I've been speaking on giving, and I'll do it now, not to beg. Remember, I'm not begging you to give. I'm not trying to guilt you into it. But to answer questions that have been given to me. And also to honor God by teaching His entire Word. And I also appreciate the feedback I've received that many were encouraged in what we've looked at and we're challenged with. But we know that Jesus told us that we cannot serve two masters. We're going to choose. We either serve God or money, but not both. We try to use God to earn more money, or we use the money He's blessed us with to honor God. But we also know that God has told us that money kills because of the wrong perspective of it. Not because money is bad, but because we love money. And it's destroyed many, the scriptures tell us, because it's become our master. So in the 2 weeks of this series, we've seen in the Old Testament, when the Jews were under the law, that they were obligated to bring tithes to the storehouse. And by faith, they obeyed the law. Their faith was seen in check marks, checking off the boxes, being good, doing what they're told, and really their tithes added up to over 30%. And so we just see a theme of tithing throughout the Old Testament. But then Jesus came. And upon His death, He brought with Him the New Testament, the New Covenant. And we no longer show faith by checking off boxes, do we? We don't live by the law anymore. And we've seen this last couple weeks that now we do all things through love. Everything we do is through love. So we give to God out of love, appreciation, and faith in Him. See, appreciation for Him causes us to love Him. You realize when you understand who He is and what He's done for you, you love Him more and more. That's why it's so important you study God's Word for yourself. Your love is developed as you get to know Him and see what He has done and who He is. And the deeper we love Him, the more we are transformed to be like Him. We're transformed into His image as He created us in the first place. And sin broke. His image is a giver. He is a giving God. He has given us so much. So if you're in His image, you become a giver. Loving Him causes us to appreciate all that He has blessed us with. And when we start appreciating what He's blessed us with and who He is, we grow in our faith to Him, knowing that He can use what we give Him better than we could ever use. And He will bless our faith and provide for us. And we want to continue on this, because last week we saw in God's Word that God wants each one of us to be a part of the collection of the saints. And we do that by giving back to him a portion of what he's entrusted into your care. We saw that last week, that everything we have is his. And we give back to him the portion of what he's entrusted to us. It's to be collected at the local church weekly, used to fulfill the ministry of the church. And remember, you with me? The offering plate is not about tithing. I'm sorry, it's not about tipping. It's not about being entertained, so I'll give a little more. I'm upset, so I'm not giving. The offering plates and giving them to God is appreciation and love for him and being a part of his ministry. So if you open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul gives direction to a church. We're familiar with this little church. We learn a lot of doctrine through 1 and 2 Corinthians. Challenged in very hard ways, encouraging ways. But Paul gives a direction to the church, calling them to be eager and excited about their giving to the collection. And he shares some characteristics of a giver that God wants. He shares what we should be like when we give. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, go down to verse 6. Let's read. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for being a giving God, a loving God, a faithful God. And Lord, I ask that you'd give me the words to say, but give each one of us in this room soft hearts to let your spirit guide, touch, comfort, encourage, but also convict in those areas that we just need to let you speak. Lord, I ask that this would be a time that we'd be challenged and encouraged. I ask that you have your way, that each one of us would respond in faith to your leading. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, Paul challenges local church on giving. And some of the principles and promises that we see in this text are what I want to break down. But the first thing I want to see is the method of giving. The method that we see of giving. And the first point is the bigger point, then two quick points at the end of that. But the first point is the method of giving. Because we touched on this method last week, but I want to expound on it a little more. You know, it's comparing giving to a planter, a farmer, a gardener. In verse 6, look what he says. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. See, Paul is comparing here to a farmer that's the time to plant. And really, you don't need to be much of a farmer because we know I am not. I can't help her keep her plants alive in the house, much less grow some whatever you would call a crop. I got in trouble in this room a couple weeks ago because I called that little property next to my house. What did I call it, Miss Linda? Huh? I called it a field because it's an open field of grass. And she's like, what? I don't even know what you're talking about. That's a lot. I'm sorry. I broke it. So that's my farming abilities, but I can see what Paul is saying here. He's making a very clear comparison in giving and to planting. You're not going to have a good harvest from a seedless ground, will you? A seedless ground will not have a harvest. Surprise! You know, you will not have a big harvest if you keep the seed to yourself, if you're scared to damage the seed or to lose the seed, if you're scared of what the result could be, and you save it and you protect it and you keep it safe in a dry area, you keep it in your barn in a big old plastic barrel so no one can touch it and it doesn't get hurt, it does you zero good, doesn't it? See, I know more about farming than you thought. It does you no good if you try to protect the seed and keep it to yourself. Why? Because that seed does not fulfill its purpose. It must be given to the ground. You must become, you must be able to release it from your power. You must be able to render it useless to yourself for a season. Because that's what you do. You let go of that seed and so be it. What happens in the ground? And you must trust that it's going to fulfill its purpose. In other words, you can't be guided by fear. Yeah? I know that's tough on farmers living around here. Okay, is it time yet? We're going to get another frost. Is there going to be rain this year? How much do I go? And you act by faith when you do put that in the ground. That in a matter of months, I'll be able to feed my family and sell this for food. But it must be released and given. Because if you plant no seed, you receive no harvest. You receive no blessing. You plant a little bit of seed, you receive a small harvest, a small blessing. Am I right? By natural understanding, the more seed we plant, the more harvest there will be. And you understand how this happened in those days. Those men set aside a portion of their harvest, and they kept that for the next season as their seed. They didn't call whatever the company is and say, bring me a bag. Every year they saved their own seed to go for the next year. And so the bigger the harvest they had, you with me? Let this process a little bit. The bigger harvest they had, the more seed they could place into the ground next crop. Right? The next plantation. So the bigger their harvest, the more they could save for the next time they planted, making next time a bigger harvest and to continue to grow. And the more we trust God in giving, the more He can entrust unto you for the next time to plant. You with me? When we understand this principle, we can start to understand the saying, it is better to give. Why? Because when I give, I receive. God gives back. God blesses. When we give more seed into the ground, we have more of a harvest to enjoy. And therefore, the next time we have more seed and it continues to grow, and we give more to God in faith, we have more entrusted to us. Now, let me just make clear, this is not speaking as the prosperity gospel. You know that gospel that says you name it and claim it, you blab it and grab it? If you have faith in God, He'll give you whatever you want. Don't tell the apostles that, you know, because they gave up their life for Him. Tell Jesus that, the most holy one to ever walk this earth, still died and suffered and lived a hard life. The prosperity gospel tells you if you have enough faith and you give enough to God, you get the health, wealth, and prosperity that you always want. No, that's a bunch of malarkey. Greg Lowry says this, God don't promise to supply your greed, but He does promise to supply your need. And there's a big difference when we understand what our need is. See, this is not about getting rich, but this is about trusting God and that He will use my faith and He will use what I've given back to Him and He's going to provide what I need to fulfill my purpose. See, when you act in faith and being obedient to God, He will always supply what you need to fulfill his purpose in your life. You take a little step of obedience for God, that's all he can supply for you right here. A little bit of blessing. You can only see God work in a little way. You take big steps. God, you sent me way over here. Guess what you get to see? You get to see these major blessings, how God's going to work in your life. How God's going to work. What do you want? I trust God a little bit. You're going to get a little bit. You sow a little bit. Sow sparingly, you receive what? Sparingly. And God blesses faith at all times. Why? Because he blesses our faith, because in Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. God loves faith. He loves it when you trust him. Mom, dad, be honest. When you tell your kid about something and share with them something they should do that would help them and they act upon it, you enjoy that, don't you? That they listened to you and it benefited their life. You enjoy that they trusted you. God's higher than that. He's calling you to faith, and he enjoys your faith. He loves when you act in faith. And faith is what God uses and works through. And he may not provide what we expect, but he provides what we need, which is usually better than we can expect. You with me? She's with me. Look at verse 8. Now, she don't need to start throwing a fit now. I'm just saying. And God's able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to what? Every good work. God blesses according to your... There's some competition going on tonight. I can scream, too. I'm a daddy. God blesses according to your reason for giving. If it's by faith, he knows whatever he blesses you with will be used for his glory. You with me? What God gives to you, the only part to be used for his glory is not the part that gets thrown in there. Everything he gives to you is used for his glory. Do you know that? Everything is his. He's entrusted to you. He just says, give back to him a portion. He says he's going to give you what you need to fulfill his purpose. But what does he want to use it for? Look at the end of verse 8 again. To every good work. You know, remember what Jesus said we do good work for? To magnify the Father, to make him known. So God is going to bless and provide to you so that you can do more works to make him known. That's our purpose, right? There's only one making noise in the house. Where's the rest of y'all? Is it too hot? I'm hot. I'm going to turn the fan on. Down 1 degree. Fan. Oh, it was on already. That didn't help. See, giving to God is a step of faith that he can use, that he can bless, that he can say, hey, you have been obedient to me, and I'm going to bless your obedience. I'm going to give you what you need in that step of faith. Look at verse 9. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister his bread for your food and multiply your need, your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see who this is all about? Who has provided every bit of it? He, God himself. Often we complain about what we don't have, or we don't say it verbally. Oh, I really need, you don't need it. I went to the auction yesterday. I got a bunch of stuff I wanted. But I lived 48 years so far without it. Those things are addictive. They get me in trouble, man. And somebody bids against you, then it's war. It's like, oh, you did. Uh-uh. And then you get to going, and I'm not going to say who my oldest son is. He turned around after buying and said, oh, I spent too much. And I'm not going to tell you that he bid against his old man, unknowingly. We had fun. But you know, we often don't understand what we have. We forget all the blessings already in our life. Our family at prayer time the other night, and I don't know if it stuck out to them as much, but we're sharing the blessings today, and we noticed on that particular day, each of us had been all over the place in different areas. I drove the school bus on a field trip, 50 kids on that bus, and I lived to tell about it. And some teachers, and yeah, invitation time now. We went all the way out to Knoxville. Yeah, your granddaughter was on there. We had fun. It was great. I can tease. We had a good time. Took them all the way out there to go skating, and then we went to the park, and then we went bowling. It was a great time, but I was all over the place in the school bus with a whole bunch of kids. Amy had a doctor's appointment, and then some other running around she had to do. Josiah had school, and then a trip with the school, and then he had baseball that night, and yet we were back together that night, safely, eating a meal, watching TV, talking about how good our day was. Can we count our blessings? Just in that day, how many things God protected and provided, allowed us to be a part of. One blessing after another blessing after another blessing, and so often we can say, I don't feel good, my tire's flat, internet went out again, oh no, my cell phone quit working. That's a praise. You'll learn that's a praise. How many blessings do we miss sometimes? God's blessings are greater than financial. When we say God is going to provide and God's going to bless, it doesn't mean he's going to give you a boatload of money. But when you step in faith, he's going to touch your heart. He's going to give you the joy of the Lord. And you'll see blessings when you allow him to open your eyes and see what's around you. Why does God bless our faith? Look at verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. When we start recognizing the blessings and naming them and counting them, and rather than crying about what we don't have and crying about what someone said about us and crying about what we wish we could do, and we start saying, wow, God, you protected here, here, and here. You provided for this, this, and this. You've given me this family that loves me. You allow me to do this. And we start noticing all the blessings and what God has given to us, what is it causing us? Thanksgiving to God. It'll cause a deep and sincere thanksgiving, not a, dear God, thank you for this soup. Amen. But, Lord, you provided again. You're going to forget what you lack, and you're going to see what God's working. The more you plant, the more God will bless, and the more thankful you can be. Again, not financial riches. So much that's greater than that. See, and that was the main point, but there's two more quick points that we see here of characteristics that God wants in your giving. And the second one is an attitude of giving. The attitude, we touched on this again the other day, but you know, there is an attitude of giving. Yesterday, I told you about the auction, and this week, Stephanie has been so busy. And she, Stephanie, I'm sorry, I did it again. Holly has been so, and she's out there all day at the auction smiling. I appreciate it. And you did so awesome. It's fun to give a gift to her, you know, what you've been waiting for. I gave one to Stephanie, though. Craig, here you go. I had to. If I didn't give it to you, you'd been upset at me. You see the attitude in giving? How much more fun is it to receive someone that's excited to give to you with a smile? Really, no hold bar, just, hey, I want to bless you. Then I had to. There's an attitude of giving that God sees at this plate. It's so easy. Oh. Here's my $13.123, because that's exactly 10%. Right? Versus, oh, I get the gift to you again. You've blessed me to give. And you see, there's an attitude that we need to have that is beyond understanding of the world of why would you give to the church? See, no gift is good or fun when it's given with a bad spirit, but all gifts are great when they're given in love. You remember those unidentified drawings that you received from the kids? That's exactly what you do when you receive them. You're like, oh, that's awesome. I love hanging them on my wall down in the office. I love those gifts. They're great because they're excited to give it to you. They got that smile on their face, and they blessed your heart. They're excited. Parents on Christmas, men, those handkerchiefs, that pack of underwear. Only 6 more months, men. You'll get a new pair. Hold in there. They're coming. I know about this time they're starting to be done. You can do it. But the attitude of the giving matters, doesn't it? When your kid is just excited to give to you, you don't care what it is. You're excited about that heart, the excitement, the desire to give and be a part. And verse 7 says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Stop right there. When you give to God, he says, according as he has purposed in your heart. Make a commitment to give. Spend time in prayer and direction. Be ready to give to God as he leads you. And then when you do it with a grateful heart. See it as a privilege, as an honor that God has said, hey, I trust you to give this back. I trust you to be a part of this ministry. I trust you to love my bride so much that you want to make sure the ministry gets done. He says, not grudgingly, not depressed or frustrated that you had to give a candy bar to a man because he's going to stare at you every day. You didn't give me one. Craig would trip me at the door back there. Right? Don't give it because you have to give it. This defeats the purpose in giving. It ruins our involvement in God's work. It says, not of necessity and compulsion. Not because someone talked you in and guilted you into giving. Not because there's a special need or the church is going broke. Well, church got me plenty of money in the bank. That don't matter. You're not giving for a specific need. You're giving unto God so that in the long run, that church can be a blessing somewhere. They continue to ministry here. I had one gentleman in our church shared a concern for our church as his kids are going to get older. He said, I want this church to be here in 20 years so my kids have somewhere to take their kids. We need to worry about that. We need to care about that. Because who did God put that upon? You and I, to walk in faith. So make that commitment. Don't do it because you have to. Don't do it because someone talked you into it. Now, you can do extra things and give in extra ways and special needs, but don't wait for those things to make you give. Be a giver as God is a giver. Give because you're thankful for God's provision. Do you trust God to use your money better than you can? Not just in concept. We know the right answer. Yes. What does the Bible say? Jesus. Yeah. But do we trust him with our money? Well, I trust him with everything. I had a lady tell me, I trust God with everything, just not my kids or my money. Well, you just ruled out the two biggest factors in your life. God, do whatever you want with my old beat-her-up car out there. No. What does God always call for? Your first fruits, your best, the top of the crop. Before everything else, you show that he's priority. And that's what our desire to trust him and give him first. We give because we're happy to be a part of God's work. We give because of your love for God. And this is what God wants from you. In verse 7, the end of it says what? For God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. God has other ways he could fund his work. He's God. He made this whole world. It says, Scripture says he has cattle on 1,000 hills. Just showing how he's got plenty. But he always chooses to use man, and he requires faith. He uses man to preach God's word, to build, to comfort, to encourage. God always blesses man for being part of his work. He requires faith so that we can be a part of his work. God loves your excitement to give. God don't want you coming up here, oh, I have to. God wants you to come up here and say, God, thank you. God, thank you. God loves the excitement. We place money in a plate. Tell God thank you for letting you be a part of his ministry. Tell him thank you for providing to you and allowing you to give. Remember, when you can give more, it's because he has blessed you more. Share with you a story of years ago of a couple coming in wanting to start a business. And they sat with their pastor and got some spiritual guidance. And he said, you just be faithful in giving a portion back to the church, back to God's work, back to the ministry as God blesses you. And their business grew and grew. So the amount they were giving to church was growing and getting bigger and bigger. Church could support more and more missionaries. They could have more staff. They could add on. They were using it in great ways. That couple came in a couple years later. He said, Pastor, our business has grown so much, we feel kind of that we're giving too much. He said, that's great. He said, let's go ahead and pray right now that God would diminish your business down to the size that you're comfortable in giving. Understand, when God allows you to be a giver and you give more, it's because he's given you more. He's entrusted you with more. He's blessed you with more. I want to look at one more thing here as he's blessed us to give. When we give to God and we watch him use it and provide, when we do it out of a love and appreciation for him, he changes our heart. Giving becomes awesome. We get a new view of giving. And Paul gives us a great example. Go back to the previous chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 right there. And we're just going to close in this short point here. In 2 Corinthians 8, listen to what Paul shares. Moreover, my brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. So I've got to share with you. This is awesome. I've got to share how God has used the churches in the region of Macedonia. And he goes on in verse 2, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and a deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Stop right there. This last point is the sacrifice of giving. This only develops with growth. The excitement in being a cheerful giver makes you want to be more involved in God's work. The more you see God work and use your small steps of faith, the more steps you want to take, the more you want to give, the more you want to be used. And Paul here is describing a group of churches in this region of Macedonia. And it's a group of people that were poorer than poor. They were the ones that had nothing. They were impoverished. Verse 2 says deep poverty. And the word it comes from refers to beggars. They were so bad off, they had nothing. Why? Because of the continual wars that were going on in that area. Because of the Roman authorities plundering and stealing everything they had. Understand, these churches were poorer than poor. Not like some Americans that are so poor they only have one iPod and three TVs. Right? No, these people were poor. They were broke. They had nothing. And yet, in their suffering, verse 2 says, they had abundance of joy. It ain't because they were poor and didn't know it. It was poor, but they had Jesus. They had joy that was given to them. They wanted to be a part of the work of God. And verse 4 tells us what Paul is trying to make a point of. They urged and they begged that Paul would receive their gifts. Their collections would be taken. Probably it was a matter of they're so poor. Paul's like, no, you guys don't need to. And they're like, no, we want to be a part too. That's not fair. We want to give. We want to support. And understand they weren't taking money for their own church in this case. They were sending money to other believers, other saints, other churches to help them in need. This is sacrificial giving. They had every reason, every excuse to not give and spend it on themselves. And each one of us in them would say, yeah, I mean, you're broke, man. It's okay to take care of your family. It's okay to give to your family, and that's true. But they had such a passion for the work of God, they said, we're going to find a way to be a part. Listen, I can sell something in my house and make some money to send. I can do this. They were finding ways to gather money. He said, Paul, we want to be a part. Let us. Why? Because they trusted God would use what they had better than they could use it. They trusted that God would provide for their needs. And they loved that they got to be a part of God's ministry. They were blessed by it. Do we love being a part of God's ministry? Do we love how God is working amongst us? And do we love that He wants to use us to do His work? That's an opportunity again. I don't do this to try to beg you to give. I do this so we can see the opportunity and privilege we have to be a part of God's ministry and watch Him bless our faithfulness. So today, as we celebrate a day that we remember those men and ladies that gave so much, let's consider what God has called us to give. Let us love and appreciate, trust God with all He's entrusted us. Let's use what He's given to us for His glory. Amen. Would you stand with me? You know, we said already, because of this holiday, we celebrate a freedom. And I always see this as a representation of what Christ has done, the freedom He's given to us. And He tells us, don't use that freedom for selfishness. Use it to serve one another. We are free people. We're not bound to some law. We're bound by love, His love for us. Let us consider how we give to Him. And I'm not just talking money, our time, our voices, our knowledge, our relationships. How do we use that? He has given us a freedom that we don't understand completely. One day we will. But He's given us such freedom. And He's used even men and women in the military to provide His freedom to us. So let's close in a song, Freely, Freely. and make sure that others hear, that others can know, that others can be freed from their sins.